Welcome to another edition of Tech San Diego's Spotlight Podcast. My name's Kevin Carroll. I'm the Executive Director of Tech San Diego. I'll be your erstwhile host, as usual, coming to you live. I was going to say technology's perfect climate, but boy, have we had a lot of rain in San Diego lately. Lots of people are loving it, some people not so much, but hopefully we'll get back in the swing of things with the weather here very quickly. We have a really interesting podcast today, especially with what's been going on in the news, a lot of the financial uncertainty. The timing is just spot on to have this conversation. So sit back, listen, and I hope you enjoy it. Jared Redfield at Tidemark Financial Partners. Jared, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Kevin, really appreciate you guys having me on today. We've had a little bit of an uncharacteristic San Diego winter.
Yeah, it's been a weird winter. It's been a cold winter, which we're not used to. Have to get those coats out and everything, but hopefully we're through the worst of it and sunny days ahead. I got to be very careful about how I say this. I don't want any wealth management executives that are listening to this or that I know take offense, but you know, through the years, my experience and perception of wealth management has not been the most positive. And I think of wealth management and I think of kind of like Patrick Bateman. He was a mergers and acquisition guy. Those of you remember the American Psycho. I'm not suggesting that wealth management guys are psycho, but you know, three-piece suit and hair slicked back and very smooth and maybe talking us into buying products that we maybe don't need. And yet for the majority of us, we really don't understand how to develop a financial plan, right? And you know, we may look at stuff and ask our parents and other things, but what intrigued me about what you guys are doing is that you're focusing on tech executives. You're not a traditional wealth management. It's not just about buying products, but what I've discovered about Tidemark, that it's really about making a plan. So talk to us a little bit about that, maybe that wealth management, how to get past that perception issue, what you guys may do and how it may be different.
You know, one of the things I think you pointed out is, yeah, it's kind of hard to get excited about wealth management when it's maybe not one of those topics that you're familiar with or something that is typically one of those exciting topics either. So for us, it's really important for us to be engaging and kind of energize those conversations, because a lot of people kind of have their eyes glazed over when we're talking about this kind of stuff. So I kind of put it this way of, there's been a very big characteristic or stereotype of kind of that Jordan Belfort-esque, or as you mentioned, Patrick Bateman, really tailored up suit, slick back hair. And they're probably just doing this song and dance to really get you engaged into something that they're trying to sell rather than something that's going to help you. So that's where a lot of times you're going into something that you don't really understand and it doesn't really fit your needs, which is really a backwards way of thinking of how you should approach the financial planning and wealth management space, because you run into situations where people do feel burned. They do feel that negative kind of connotation when working with someone in the wealth management space. So I'll talk a little bit about some of the major misconceptions that I see is that you brought up products. Products are something that tend to get pitched. They're very salesy in approach. And it's not the fault of the product. The product is going to work as how that product is designed. But the issue is how the approach is and how that product is sold to you. There are tons of different ways we can help you pursue a really good financial plan, retirement plan, and investment plan. But there's so many different tools, so many different ways of going about it that you don't necessarily have to rely on someone who's going to sell you something that's ultimately going to generate them a big commission or a big fee, because that's where working underneath the fiduciary standard, you have to make that balance between both sides. So for us, that's where we really drive the financial planning aspect, because depending on what your goals are and kind of the goal-based planning approach that we take here at Tidemark, there are all kinds of options we can look at and use to work towards achieving what you're looking for and avoiding that one-size-fits-all or cookie-cutter approach.
Yeah, it's a good answer, Jared. The other thing I think of is that, you know, wealth management is something I need to plan for my retirement. And I'm not young, but you know, folks in the middle or beginning of careers, why do they need a wealth, someone helping us through? I mean, retirement's 40 years away. They don't need to worry about it. It's something their parents need, but they don't need. By the way, I think that's wrong. I'm sure you're going to tell me that's a wrong perception, but why is it wrong? And why should people be looking at the beginning of their careers thinking about their long-term kind of financial planning?
Absolutely. So I kind of liken this to almost learning a language or learning like an instrument. The earlier that you start, the easier it is for you to pick up. And in total, in the long run, it translates a whole lot better for once you do reach that retirement conversation. So, you know, there's a whole lot more to our financial life and our careers than just retirement. So whether you're just starting out, getting to learn how company benefits work, how different types of investment accounts work, really just good financial habits, learning those early and really getting more fluent in that financial language is going to be something that helps you not only today, but also tomorrow.
I think you're right. And I like the analogy towards learning a language, right? Because that financial language you don't run into every day, right? You're focused on your career, whatever your job is, you understand that language, but you really don't understand the impact of those decisions that you're making today. And they may look like great decisions, right? But they have long-term implications. And so I agree with that. One of the things I noticed, one of the things that attracted me about, by the way, Tidemark is a new member for Tech San Diego. Welcome to Tech San Diego. But one of the things I really vetted, and I got to be honest with the, you know, for listeners of the podcast, we really had to think about how a wealth management company adds value to our network, right? And so there was a lot of questions and a lot of vetting and investigation goes into it. And one of the things that intrigued me about Tidemark is you guys specifically focus on both life science, technology, innovation executives. So how are their needs might be different from a shop owner, a tuna boat captain, name your industry. How do you think that might be different than wealth management or consulting, financial consulting for another sector?
Yeah, I think this is one of our most oftenly asked questions when we're working with people within the tech sector. And it really comes down to the familiarity with the unique benefits and the unique lifestyle that kind of works within this sector of tech. So there's nothing against, you know, a more broad scope approach to financial planning or wealth management, because there are plenty of professionals out there that do a really good job of doing so. But when you come to that advisor, you come to that financial professional that you're working with, and they're not familiar with the unique challenges that you face or unique kind of benefits that you're working with as an employee or an owner, you kind of have to go through the work of teaching them a little bit more about how it works, versus having someone who's going to step in day one and is speaking the same kind of ideas, same kind of terms. So you're kind of accelerating ultimately the kind of work that can be done. And that familiarity gives you a little bit more of that relief of saying, hey, this is someone who actually knows what I'm going through, what I'm talking about. So those are some specialized strategies that we work on, so that one, with tech being somewhat more new as an industry, kind of flourishing from the past 20, 30 years versus, like you mentioned, some of these other industries that have been around forever, it's a much more general approach. Versus for us, it's very niche, very specific to things that you're working with on a day-to-day and long-term. So you're just getting a lot more, you know, niche strategies, a lot more niche approach in regards to what you're working with as an employee, an owner, startup. Those are all different areas that fall under that umbrella that require really dedicated and specific planning.
And I imagine, you know, since many of the tech executives have equity in companies, and I imagine that might be something that that takes a little different of an approach with your financial planning.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we look at is there's a lot that we can help with in regards to the equity as an owner, equity in terms of stock options, whether that's RSUs, ISOs, NQOs, all these different benefits or variety of stock option compensation that's out there. It's really important to, one, manage the risk that does come along with that, because even though we do have a lot of belief in the tech sector as a whole and some of the main leaders or newer companies that are coming into this this field, it's a very volatile market. So when you have a backdrop of a volatile market over the past year and a half from a more broad scope, these are the things that we focus on first and foremost of managing your risk. You can't eliminate risks. You have to manage it. So that's where not only is it an investment conversation, because we're talking about what you're doing with that specific equity, it's also the planning conversation. Where does this fit within your timeline? So that's a little bit more geared towards us. But you know, one of the beautiful things about Tech San Diego and also working with our group is you're accessing networks of the other professionals that are going to be able to assist this above and beyond. Because I'm sure most people know, as soon as you bring up equity, you bring up highly appreciated stock, those things that come into play when we're talking about the owner or the employee side of stock options, the next question is always about, okay, well, what are my tax implications? So being prepared for us is one, understanding how much in liability that you're going to run into, but then having an accountant or CPA who's going to be able to facilitate the other side. Because one of the most important things is not working with someone who tries to wear too many hats. They should be an expert in what they're an expert in, but they should also have a team of professionals built around you to handle things like the estate applications, handle things like the tax implications. Those are those other areas where our planning really sets you up for that execution from more of that group approach.
One of the things that I've been kind of disappointed in traditional wealth management is immediately going to a conversation about what I should be investing in. This gets X amount of returns. This index fund has 30%. And really what I'm looking for is more of a plan, right? Like how much of my salary should I set aside? How much should be stable investments? How much should be, you know, those are the things that I'm probably more interested in, and just coming up with this kind of plan. And from talking to you and a couple of the partners over there, that seems to be something you guys excel in. Would you agree with that on that plan, or is what you invest in more important?
Yeah, I would think more towards the contrary. One of our biggest emphasis is the goal-based planning aspect. And we use a phrase that our clients have probably heard ad nauseum, which is our investments should be dictated by the plan and not the other way around. So, you know, that's where all sorts of investments can make sense to all sorts of investors or individuals. But it's a matter of how we craft that based on your timeline, based on your specific goals, because I can't tell you how many people over the past 2 years were saying, well, I'm planning to buy a home. So what I'm going to do is, they're used to that 2020 or early 2021 market where you essentially throw your money at anything and you're getting great returns right away. People who are trying to replicate that through 2022 lost a huge amount of what they're probably going to put for a down payment. So I use that example because it really clues you into how exactly your plan should focus on, rather than trying to time the market more, you should be trying to time your plan more. So having those checkpoints, not only from the financial planning standpoint, which I think is a little bit more of that day-to-day, short-term, intermediate goals, that helps you set up, one, how you should be invested for those shorter and intermediate timeframes, but also it allows you to categorize a little bit more for your long-term buckets as well. So that's where, if you're using your investments as the main driver, you're then really beholden to how the market's going to perform. So if you have a major up climb or, you know, a really sharp decline in the market, now you're really based on those fluctuations versus, hey, this is now driven by what I'm doing and what I'm planning to do. So I would say that the better way to approach it is have your investments be driven by the plan, because now you're removing a lot of the outside noise from what's going on from the news, the market, all sorts of things that you're hearing at the water cooler at the office or from friends.
Yeah, it's easy to get distracted. And I think you're right. I think being a wealth management or a financial consultant in 21 or 20 is kind of like being a weather forecaster in San Diego, right? It's all sunny days. But the reality is, as we move into 22 or 23, these markets are going to become really uncertain. And so, you know, the ability to have a plan about that and a long-term plan saying, you know what, it just, ignore the market for a little bit. We'll take care of that and think about, you know, really again, it's that having a plan. So Jared, one of the things that's funny, because we just talked about how the plan is better than the actual what you invest in. Having said that, that's been my favorite phrase lately. Having said that allows you to say something and then say the exact opposite. So So Jared, you know, as innovation executives, I think there's a tendency to want to invest in the latest and greatest, whether that's, you know, crypto or AI, machine learning, Bitcoin or whatever. So how would you advise those innovation executives that really want to do cutting edge investments? What's your answer to that?
Yeah. So I think one, the familiarity and just kind of being entrenched in that sector, you're now a lot more familiar with what's going on in the innovation sectors, whether that's tech or some of these ones like AI that's really been so popular lately. And personally, I think it's somewhat foolish to not include or be very exclusive of saying, we'll never incorporate that into what we're doing in your investment side. Because one, there's a lot of these trends that are probably going to work out very well long term. I mean, think of the major transition and overhaul that we've done since 2020 to becoming such a tech-driven world that it's, I would say, without a doubt, going to be something a part of our lives moving forward. So what really matters is how it's included.
You know, it's interesting. That was the answer I was thinking you would give. So what do you do when like, let's say an executive said, look, let's put it all in GBH chat. Let's put it all in AI. You know, and again, these innovation executives, they're excited about these new technologies. You're right. They understand it. How do you say, not that you say no, but how do you say, just hold, let me tell you, in essence, it does come down to how to say no. And so what's your response to that when a young technology executive says, look, we're going to put it all on GBH chat and AI, find me five companies, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think a very key part of vetting a good advisor is someone who will tell you no, because there are certain situations where there's going to be some disagreement or there's going to be essentially a difference of understanding of what we want to accomplish. But in this sense, it's really a matter of, okay, well, how do we temper the expectations and how do we temper the all-in mentality? Because all-in is typically one of the biggest mistakes that people make of seeing a trend, because that's where they get caught up in the FOMO, the fear of missing out on people who've made a ton of money very rapidly, versus, okay, well, even though this may not be the huge get rich quick idea, this is something that long term we have belief in. So that's a matter of how we can start small in some circumstances, if we can do some replacing of, you know, funds that may be a little bit more targeted for things like this, or individual equities that are targeted like that. That's a little bit more of what we do in our approach, because, you know, if we're going through in and out like that too often, it's really just going to hurt the overall complexion of your investment strategy, because you're not allowing the most crucial part of it, which is time, to take its factor. So, you know, that's where for us, you know, we'd have to play a little bit of good cop, bad cop. You know, we've had plenty of times where people say, hey, take this, let's go all in, let's buy all this. But, you know, that could wildly adjust what you're looking at for the surrounding pieces of your financial picture. So that's where tempering those expectations, having that conversation, you know, is really important.
Yeah. And I think referring back to the plan, right? And being able to say, yes, you know, great. You've designated that 3% of your, you know, whatever, you know, 3% of your funds that you're going to invest are going to be, you know, these high risk, high yield, high reward. Let's do it. We'll just keep your rest of the portfolio. But, you know, recognizing that innovation executives are probably going to be a little bit more excited about new technologies than, you know, someone who owns the bakery store.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I would say most executives or owners have a little bit more of that appetite for risk. So, you know, that's where getting to understand your client and getting to know them on that level of, okay, one, their personality and kind of their behavior when it comes to investing is critical. But also, you know, that doesn't mean if they have the financial backing or the financial picture that surrounds them to give them a little bit more flexibility to take on more risk. You know, those are things that I think is kind of lost with that more general advisor when working with a client like this. You know, there are ways where, hey, this client inherently, just based on his business, based on what he's done so far, and hey, not everyone has the flexibility to reduce risk in a snap of the finger. So that's where understanding what they're allowed to do and really what kind of downside that they're exposed to. Yeah, there's kind of a more sliding risk scale than just age or income. There are a lot of other variables for these owners and executives to, one, potentially take more risk, and secondly, kind of carve out some of these more unique ideas in integrating some of these more trendy, or what I would like to say, more effective trends in terms of these investments such as AI.
Well, good, Jared. I think here we had a great conversation. It you didn't try to sell me anything. It wasn't boring and it wasn't intimidating. So those are three good things about the podcast. Look forward to seeing your team around Tech San Diego events. We'll put in our liner notes here, have someone wants to get in contact with you or the company, and I'm sure I will see you in the near future. So, Jared, thanks for taking time out of, I know it's a busy schedule you have. Thanks for taking time out to chat with us.
Anytime, Kevin. Pleasure to be here, and definitely looking forward to getting more familiar and establishing more of that connection here within Tech San Diego.
This episode of TSD Spotlight was hosted by Kevin Carroll, Executive Director of Tech San Diego. Many thanks to newest member and guest, Jared Redfield from Tidemark Financial Partners, for taking time to talk about money management today. Tidemark Financial Partners is uniquely positioned to give advice to the tech worker here in San Diego. Their firm was founded on the idea that a steady approach always wins, making and executing well-thought-out plans in close collaboration with their clients. Jared Redfield is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. Content in this material is for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. This information is not intended to be a substitute for specific individualized tax advice. We suggest that you discuss your specific tax issues with a qualified tax advisor. Visit www.tidemarkfp.com for more information. Producers for Tech San Diego Spotlight are Kevin Carroll and Sarah Spiba. TSD Spotlight was recorded at the Del Mar location and edited by Hypable Impact. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to like, follow, and share.